Good morning, Lakeland Baptist family and guests. Today is a doubly blessed Sunday. One, it is the Lord's Day, so we have an opportunity to worship Him and also to be encouraged from His Word to draw nearer to Him in our relationship with God as we're encouraged from the Word. But number two, it is also Mother's Day. To all of our mothers who are watching this morning, we want you to know, number one, that we dearly love you. We are concerned about you. We are committed to you. We want God's best for you, and we deeply appreciate you. We're grateful for who you are and all the ways that you serve us and all the things that you do for us. So we hope that today you feel truly special and that you know our love and appreciation for you. So happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers watching. I invite you to please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 23. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23, continuing our study of this fascinating passage together this morning. My wife, Melody, and I, we've been working with our oldest son, Titus, who's 2 years old, to memorize Scripture. Two passages we've been helping him memorize are Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, Titus is making progress in his memorization of these two texts. As for the latter one, Ephesians 6:1, he's got the middle part down, obey your parents in the Lord, but he sometimes forgets the first part, children, or he leaves off the last part, for this is right. But we're so proud of him for the progress that he is making in memorizing these texts. As I was thinking about my son, I came across a story of a young boy who was asked to recite Psalm 23, verse 1. As he began to think about the text, he became a little nervous, and as he tried to recall it from memory, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I should not worry." Now, that little boy did not get the whole verse correct in the way it appears in the text. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But even though he didn't get the words exactly correct, he did capture the correct sense of the text. We've been studying Psalm 23 for the last couple of weeks, and we've discovered that Psalm 23 is a psalm written by King David, where he expresses his trust, his confidence in God. And he likens God to a caring shepherd of sheep in verses 1 through 4, and a gracious host of a guest in verses 5 through 6. And as our caring shepherd and gracious host, David rejoices in the truth that God provides for all of his people's needs. And so the little boy was correct in the sense of this passage that those who know God as a caring shepherd, they truly don't have to worry about anything in life, in any area of their life, because they have a faithful shepherd who will provide for them so that they truly lack nothing that is essential. We've been looking at verses 2 through 6. And we're going to continue our study of verse 3 this morning. And we're going to see the specific ways that, and we're looking at the specific ways that God provides for us. And so we're going to see an additional way this morning in which God as our caring shepherd provides for his people. So let's read the passage together and continue our study of this psalm. Psalm 23, verse 1. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this Sunday and an opportunity to come back to Psalm 23 and to learn more about you as our faithful shepherd. God, will you please teach us? Will you open our ears to hear your word? Holy Spirit, will you convict us of the truth that we study this morning, what it means for our lives, and how we can apply it to become faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his matchless name. Amen. We've been studying verses 2 through 3 up to this point in Psalm 23, and we've seen as our caring shepherd that God, number one, he provides sustenance for us. That's what David means in verse 2 when he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. A shepherd had the responsibility to lead his sheep to pastures, to graze, so that they could satisfy their hunger. And God, for us, he does the same for us physically and spiritually. He provides food for the physical man, the essentials to maintain our physical life. And he also provides food for the soul. He gives us the word of God, which is food for the spiritual man, so that we can grow and be spiritually healthy. So God provides our sustenance. That's one way that he provides. Number two, we saw that God not only provides sustenance, but God provides renewal. David goes on in verse 2 and 3 to say, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. A shepherd knew his sheep, and he knew that they needed places to rest. They needed time to restore so that they wouldn't be driven too hard in a day. And David understands that, wants us to understand that God knows our makeup. And he knows that we too, being physical and spiritual beings, that God builds rest for us. He allows us to recharge and to revitalize. So he allows us to rest physically, to renew our strength. He gives us that gift of sleep. But he also renews us inwardly. When we get off on the insides, when we're low and we've just lost our motivation and our inward vitality, God, through prayer, through the study of the word, through worship, through the working of the Holy Spirit, he restores us. He brings us back to a proper place in our inner man. So our God, as our caring shepherd, he provides sustenance. He provides renewal. Well, in the latter part of verse 3, we see another way that God provides for us. God provides for us guidance. Look at verse 3 and what David goes on to say. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep are not known for being intelligent creatures. As you read through the Bible, Old and New Testament, you see the picture of sheep as animals who wander, who stray, and who get lost. In some of my research for the study of this passage, I discovered that a sheep can be not far from the fold, from its own flock. And even though it's not far from its flock, it cannot on its own find its way back to the flock. Consequently, sheep are totally dependent upon their shepherd for their survival. They need a shepherd to guide and to lead them at every point of their day. David tells us that God is that faithful shepherd to assume that responsibility of guidance in the lives of his people. Look at what David says again. David says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. Simply put, David is affirming that God always leads us in the right paths to take us to where we need to be. God, in other words, he never leads us in the wrong way. We can trust God is a faithful shepherd to always, always, always to lead us to do what is right morally. And we can trust God always, always, always to lead us to do what is right personally. The moral will of God, that denotes the general behaviors that God clearly expresses in his word, those things he commands us to do, those things he commands us not to do. Anytime God is leading us, he will never lead us to do something contrary to his holy commands, which he has revealed in the word of God. For example, we know from the scripture that God always wants us to tell the truth. God always wants us to obey our parents. God always wants us to love Him supremely above all others and all other things. God always wants us to work hard at our jobs. God always wants sexual intimacy to be reserved only for the context of marriage. So God is a faithful shepherd. He will always lead us to do that which is consistent with His moral will, which is normative for all of His people. God will always lead us to do what is right according to His personal will for us. Now, God's personal will refers to those specific plans that He has for us as individuals. Whereas God's moral will is general for all people, and God's personal will is specific for us as individuals. He has purposes for one person that He may not have for another individual. For example, in my life, God's plan for me was to call me to ministry. He wanted me to preach. He wanted me to be a pastor of a church. So God led me down the path to help me make that decision. Take Jim Crouch in our church, for example. God's will for Jim was different. God wanted Jim to be a lawyer and eventually to be a county judge. And so God led him in the right way to make those decisions to get him where He wanted him to be. God has unique plans for His people. And He always leads us to do what is right for those personal, specific plans He has for us. He wants some people to belong to a specific church, to receive a certain kind of education, to marry a specific person, to live in one place as opposed to another, to do a specific kind of work. That's God's personal will. And so David's telling us that God always, as a caring shepherd, guides us in the paths of righteousness to do what is right morally and to do what is right personally. You say, well, why is God so concerned about the details of our life? Look at what David says in verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The name of God here refers to God's character, to God's reputation. Put simply, our God is a righteous God by His nature, and as such, He always leads us to do what is right. He will never lead us in a wrong way or a contrary way because He's consistent with His true character. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." That proverb gives us the promise that our God, as we seek Him, He will always make the paths that we are to walk straight for us. He will show us the way we are to go. One time, my sister-in-law, several years ago when I was still living in Fort Worth, she came down from Northeast Arkansas, and we were going to meet up over in downtown Dallas. Now, me personally, I am navigationally challenged. If I'm going to find my way around in Dallas, I have to rely upon a GPS. So I was totally reliant upon my phone as I was trying to make my way to where my sister-in-law was. But there was something that kept happening that day. The coordinates that I had in my phone would not get me to where my sister-in-law was. It got me close, but it never got me to where she was. Every time I would circle back around to where she was, I could even see her from a distance, but I could not get on the right road to where she was because the GPS kept taking me down a wrong road. Listen, what David's telling us in this passage, our God is such a faithful and caring shepherd that He will never lead us in the wrong way. He'll never take us down the wrong road. We can always trust God to get us exactly to where He wants us to be. God has never led me wrong, and God will never lead you in the wrong way. Where do you need guidance this morning? Where do you need God to lead you? Is there a relationship that you are struggling with this morning? maybe with a friend and you don't know how to proceed in a decision that needs to be made, what to say, how to act, or maybe it's with your spouse, your husband, your wife. These days of quarantining and social distancing have exposed certain sins in your heart or relationship struggles, some conflict that's there, and you don't know how to treat your spouse. Listen, ask God. God will guide you in the right way in dealing with that relationship struggle. Or maybe there's a decision you need to make with a potential job. You've been furloughed, or maybe you've been laid off, and you don't know what is coming next or what to do next. God will guide you in the right way concerning your next job decision. Are you concerned about your retirement portfolio? I know several people I've talked to, they're asking the question, do I keep my money where it's at? Do I pull my money? Do I put my money somewhere else? And that's a concern, especially for those who are closer to retirement than others. God will guide you in the right decision you need to make concerning your retirement portfolio. Maybe it's a question that you have about parenting. The kids are not in school because of COVID-19. They're at home. You're trying to do your work responsibilities. You're also trying to teach, and you're just having some difficulties there, and you feel like you're just hitting your head against a wall, and you don't know how to move your kids forward. God will give you the guidance to lead you in the right way when parenting your children. Whatever your moral or personal guidance need is, God is that faithful shepherd who will lead you in the paths of righteousness, in the right paths for His name's sake. He loves you, He cares for you, and He will show you the way you need to go. And I want you to be aware of some specific ways in which God guides us. Now, obviously, David compares God to being a shepherd. He's not a real shepherd. He doesn't have a crooked stick in his hand, and we're not real sheep. We're human beings. It's an analogy. So how does God, as a shepherd, how does He guide us in the right paths that we are to walk? Well, let me give you a few ways to consider this morning in seeking the guidance of God in your life. Number one, God uses the Bible to guide us in the right way. Write down this verse, Psalm 119, 105. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So God gives us light to our feet to show us the present, where we are, and God also gives us light for the path we are to walk, for what is to come. So God will use His word to speak to us. In prayer, we talk to God. When we open our Bible, God speaks to us, and He will use His word to guide us in decisions and courses of action that we are considering. So be in the Word of God as you're seeking God's guidance. Go online if you don't have a Bible reading plan. Access our Read 2020 daily Bible reading plan, and God will use His word to show you the way and the decisions that He wants you to make. Number two, God uses the Bible to lead us in the right way. God uses trusting prayer to lead us in the right way. Write down James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. James says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith." Are you trying to make a decision and you don't know how Scripture applies to what you should do or not do? James says, ask God for wisdom. Ask Him for skill in knowing how to take that specific passage of Scripture or principles in Scripture to discern what it looks like for you to apply it to that specific issue in your life. And the Bible says that if we will ask God in faith, God will give us wisdom. He'll show us what He wants us to do. Remember, when we pray in faith and we're asking for wisdom, we're not trying to change the mind of God. What we want is for God's mind to be given to us. We want to know what God wants. And as we pray, God aligns our heart and our mind with His will. And He will show us what He wants us to do. I've noticed in my own life, as I've prayed through certain issues, seeking God's guidance and wisdom, the more I prayed about something, my desire for that increased, and that showed me that that's what God wanted. Or I began to want it less and less to a point where I wasn't even thinking about it anymore. And through prayer, God guided me away from something that would not have been his best for my life. So God uses the Bible to lead us in the right way. He uses trusting prayer to lead us in the right way. Number three, he uses the indwelling Holy Spirit to lead us in the right way. When a person turns from their sin and trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the third person of the triune Godhead comes to indwell that individual. And so God, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence within us. And I want you to listen to what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, he teaches us. John 16, 8 through 11, the Holy Spirit convicts us. John 16, 13, the Holy Spirit guides us. Galatians 5, 18, the Holy Spirit leads us. Here's something we all should do when we start our day off. We should have a time of prayer with God, a time in the Word, and as we are praying, we ought to say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I recognize your presence in my life, that you are my helper, that you are my leader, that you are my guide, that the good gift that God has given to me, and so I completely surrender myself to you today. I take my hands off of my life, and I ask you to help me to be sensitive to the things I need to learn, to what you're convicting me of that is right or wrong, that I will know where you're going, and that I will go with you as you lead me. So God leads us in the right way through the Bible, by means of trusting prayer, by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Number four, through inward peace, God leads us in the right way. Colossians 3:15, the Apostle Paul tells the Colossian church, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Paul wanted the Colossians to know that God gives peace as a gift to help us to know what is right or what is wrong. In a sense, the peace of God acts like an umpire to show us whether a course of action, a decision, a relationship, something that where we're trying to determine as well, whether that's in bounds or out of bounds. And so if you don't have the peace of God and you're trying to discern whether or not God's leading you in a direction, that's a good indicator oftentimes that that's not God's plan, that that direction for your life does not meet God's approval. So we want to know whether or not God's leading in a certain way by seeing whether we have God's peace in our heart or not. Number five, God guides us into the right paths through wise counselors. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 tells us, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Listen to that verse again. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is one who listens to counsel. So what the scripture teaches us to do when it comes to discerning God's will for our lives, what is God's best, what he approves of, is that we're not only just praying and reading the word individually, but we're bringing other people in on that decision. We're seeking the counsel of others. You see, God works in the hearts and minds of other faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, if you're trying to discern where God is leading you in a particular way, find those people, those men and those women, who are walking close and clean with Jesus Christ. They're in the Word. They're prayed up. Share your situation with them and see what kind of advice they give you. That's something that I do with many of the decisions that I have to make as a leader of my home, as a leader here at Lakeland Baptist, because the Bible assures us that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. So seek out counselors, wise counselors, because God will guide us in the right paths through counselors. And then last of all, number six, God guides us in the right paths through closing and opening of doors. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, praying at the same time for us all as well, that God will open to us a door for the word. Paul understood that one of the ways in which we can know, where he can know that God wanted him to take the gospel to a certain place, was whether or not God opened a door, God made a way for the gospel to go forward in that place. The Bible teaches us that our God is a God who opens doors that no man can close, and he closes doors that no man can open. If you want to know how God is leading you in a particular situation, I often do this in my own life, and I encourage you to do it. Ask God, God, it seems to me that this is the best way forward, but if this isn't right, I pray that you will close this door, that you will block the way, that you will shut it down, and that will be confirmation that you do not want me to continue in this direction. And sometimes God does that. Other times God opens the door even wider, affirming to us that, yes, this has my blessing, and this is what I want you to do. This is where I'm going before you, and this is where I want you to follow me. So one of the ways God leads us into the right paths is by opening doors and also closing doors. Psalm 23 teaches us that God is our caring shepherd who provides guidance for his people. Back in 2001, I was confident, as I had prayed about the matter, that God was leading me to pursue a theological education so I could be a man who was better equipped to preach the Word of God and serve in the local church. But I had a problem. I didn't know where God was leading me to attend school, what seminary he wanted me to go to. At that time, I was considering Mid-America Seminary in Memphis. I was considering Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, and I was also considering Southwestern Seminary over in Fort Worth. And I was unsure what was God's will for my life, what was his best for me. So what did I do? I began to read the Word of God, and God guided me through the Word. I began to pray, and as I prayed, I began to lose, number one, any desire to even consider Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Memphis as a place where I should get my education. And as I prayed, God was lining my heart up with his, and so he was turning me off to that desire. So I knew that's not where God, that was where God was not leading me. But I was still kind of up in the air about Southeastern in Wake Forest or Southwestern in Fort Worth. And so I made a visit to both campuses, and during my tour of the campus at Southeastern and my experiences with the campus and meeting the people, nothing really resonated in my heart that that's where God wanted me to be. I came back. I had also some trusted counselors I was talking this process over with, and I had one counselor who was really telling me I needed to strongly consider Southwestern over the other seminaries, and he gave me some good reasons why. And so I also went to visit Southwestern. And when I stepped onto that campus and I was a part of the tour and I met the people and I came back and I had time to reflect upon my experience there, God just confirmed to me that that's where he wanted me to be. I started out knowing God wanted me to go to seminary, but I didn't know where. And as I worked through the process of praying, seeking counselors, and just investigating my options, God closed doors, opened doors. God confirmed to me he was being a faithful shepherd to guide me into the path that he has for my life. And based upon Psalm 23, God will do that for you, Lakeland family. He has a perfect will for you morally. He has a perfect will for you personally, and he'll never lead you wrong. I pray during this time, as we bring this message to a conclusion, that you'll use this time as we have to sing one last song, whatever area where you're needing guidance, that you'll talk to God about that, and that you will seek his guidance. Tell him that you want to go where he's leading and you're willing to go that direction. You just need him to confirm what his will is for you, and he'll be that faithful shepherd to guide you. If you're watching with us and there's never been a time where you have entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then the Bible tells us that you are actually lost, that you don't really know your way in life right. And I can tell you, based upon the authority of the Word of God, that God's will for you is that you will repent of your sins and that you will commit your life to Jesus Christ to follow him. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the way to have a relationship with God the Father. And God does not merely suggest in His Word that we come to Jesus Christ. God commands us to come to Jesus Christ. So this preacher this morning is telling you that the will of God for your life is that you not perish, but that you come to life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the fuller message of the Bible. The reason we're lost, the Bible tells us, is we're all sinners who have this nature that's bent on living life on our own terms, living in rebellion against God. And because we're sinners, the Bible tells us, our sin causes us to fall short of the glory of God. We're separated from God. And the penalty for our sin is death. That doesn't mean just physical death, but the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, which means judgment before God, where He's going to hold us accountable for all the wrongs we've committed against Him. And that death is ultimately a spiritual death where we're punished in a literal hell for all of eternity because He's holy and we're unrighteous and we've transgressed against Him. And so our judgment is to be lost for all of eternity. But the good news is that God sent Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, into this world. He was God who became a man, the Son of God. He lived a perfect life in your place, never once sinned. And then He paid the price for your sins on the cross. He was put to death on the cross. He paid the penalty for your disobedience, for my disobedience, for the world's disobedience. He took our judgment upon Himself so that we wouldn't have to be judged in the end. And the Bible tells us after He died, God raised Him up from the dead as our conquering King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who has defeated death and sin for us, our greatest enemies. And if we're willing to turn from our sin, repent of our sin, and trust in Him, surrender our life to Him, that Jesus will rescue us from that coming judgment of hell. He will forgive us of all of our sins, and He'll bring us into a right relationship with God so that we can have the gift of life abundant, life in the fullest here and now, and life eternal, life with God forever once this life is over. God's will for you this morning, He wants to guide you into the paths of righteousness which lead to Jesus Christ. And if you've never made that decision, but it's your heart's desire to know Him so that you can have a relationship with Him and you can follow Him all your days where He's going, you're willing to go, I'm going to pray a prayer as we close this message out this morning. And if it's your desire to know Him, I invite you to pray this prayer with me to have that personal relationship with God. So would you please bow? Father, thank You for this opportunity to study Your Word. Thank You that we have just been encouraged by the truth of what David says, that You are our guide, our faithful shepherd who always leads us in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Father, if there's someone watching who needs to be led to Jesus this morning, God, I pray that You will use this time to show them that they need a relationship with You that's only found in Him, and give them the courage. God, help them to understand, Lord, what it means to pray a prayer like this and to follow and to commit their life to Jesus. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have fallen short of Your glory. You are holy and I am unholy. You are righteous and I am unrighteous. I have sinned against You in so many ways. And today, I admit that I'm lost and that I need to be found, that I need to be saved and rescued. I know that I deserve judgment for my sins. I don't want to be separated from You forever in hell. I want a relationship with You and I want forgiveness of my sins. And I understand that Jesus is Your Son, God who became a man and lived the life that I cannot live, a perfect life. And He died the death that I deserved. He substituted for me in dying on the cross, and that You raised Him from the dead, and that there's life in Him, forgiveness in Him, salvation in Him. And in the best way I know how, I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Help me to turn from them, to put them to death. And I cling to Jesus in faith. I put all my hope and trust in Him, the one who's lived for me and died for me and rose for me. and I want to follow him the rest of my days. Help me to live for him from this day forth forever. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, we want to ask you to text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen, and we want to help you get started off in your walk with God in the right way. So please let us know so we can celebrate with you and help you begin your steps to discipleship and following Jesus faithfully. Again, thank you for connecting with us. Let's worship the Lord in this final song together.